The idea of living on a remote island is an element of people's fantasies all over the world, based on some vague notion of the ways it'll change us. Jason Blake is a writer and longtime Kauai resident who acted on his fantasy when he moved to the Garden Isle and then made an effort to define just how it had changed him. His book is 10 Things I Learned Living on an Island, and he's on the phone with us this morning. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
I imagine there are a great many harried city dwellers right now thinking, you know, sort of leaning back at their desk and daydreaming about doing this someday, going to live on a place like Kauai.
Yeah, and not without its challenges, at least in the first few years either.
Well, is that how it worked for you?
I moved here from Chicago about 12 years ago, mm-hmm. and, you know, you definitely have an idea of what it will be and the stress that it will relieve, and some of that comes true over the long term, and then there's lots of little wake-up calls along the way. But I think the biggest point of the book is that, you know, Bhutan has the idea of gross national happiness. Well, island living has this, you said it very well, has some definable characteristics. It really wouldn't be a bad thing for us to focus on exporting as well as tourism. We have a way of getting along. We have a way of appreciating nature and taking care of our friends and family and neighbors. Things that really, they weren't commonplace. Even growing up in the South and living in Chicago, there's kind of a sweetness, even with our traffic, even with our development issues, even with our politics. There is an underlying sweetness, and I think most people who live in Hawaii long-term kind of can't imagine living here, living anyplace else. You know, since everybody can't move here, wouldn't it be nice if we could at least share a little bit of that spirit with the rest of the world?
Well, Jason, as a former city dweller, and I'm one myself, you feel in a city that a lot of the tensions among people come from just being too close to too many people, you know, unable to walk down the street without stepping in and around crowds.
Sure, sure. And I think that's true, but I also think that there are things that we do here that relieve the pressure from that, even when it gets crowded. You know, people naturally go to enjoy the outdoors. They naturally, you know, in Kauai, you can drive around on Friday night and see garage doors open and people sitting drinking beer and playing ukulele and stuff like that. We make an effort to keep that underlying tension from spilling over into ways that create, you know, hostility in the bank line at the grocery store. And it's a little different in Honolulu, but even beeping, even honking your horn is taboo on Kauai. And I think part of that is there's a recognition that, you know, we have to mind being together in a small space too.
You know, Jason, when I go back to mainland city, I often feel that it is filled with people who get upset over what I would consider nothing.
I totally agree. And, you know, I can even see the shadow of myself, like when I used to live there, you know. Mm-hmm. Here I can stand in Starbucks and think, boy, 10 years ago this would have made me crazy that I had to wait for 10 minutes. Now we just kind of talk to each other and wave at friends that we know because we bump into people we know in the grocery store here. It's just different, yeah, and you go to the mainland, I actually had a trip to London, and, you know, in the tube, people don't even make eye contact, and my friend and I were just kind of smiling at each other just because the absurdity to some of it, too. You know, you appreciate a lot of that when you live in a quirky place.
Well, my latest experience on the New York City subway, everybody was staring at an iPhone.
That's true. That wasn't the case when we went to London. People were just pretty much looking at nothing, almost looking down, looking maybe at a paper, maybe at their phone. But yeah, there wasn't as much tablet immersion in Europe as there is even here in our schools, I think.
What made you decide to take these changes that had come about in you and make a book out of them?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say how stuff like that comes about. I've been a journaler for a long time, so part of the way I keep my sanity is that I journal every morning. And, you know, I realize these kind of, I mean, they're really trite from a certain point of view, but there's a real fine line between trite and profound, you know?
Yes, there is.
Simple spiritual truth or trite. And, you know, these things just kind of kept popping up in my morning pages about what was happening to me over time living here, and these kind of aha moments I had that were really things you know intellectually, but you don't necessarily live them. And I just started to track them, and eventually the idea of the book came, and I thought, well, people do love Hawaii, and there is this mystery about it. And not everybody can live here or will live here or wants to move here, but I think there is always an attraction about Hawaii and island living and what if. And while it's not without its challenges, there is a real grace to it. And, you know, I think everybody who lives in Hawaii hopes that everybody in the world will move here. So maybe if we can export part of that aloha and feeling that it certainly can't hurt the planet.
You know, I've heard people with situations similar to yours say, I think that because I moved here, I'm actually going to live longer because I've learned how to kind of slow my heart rate and relax. Do you feel that a little bit?
I absolutely feel that. I feel, you know, just even the necessity of shoes. Shoes were a major ordeal in this city. You had which shoes on which day of work, and then in Chicago, if it was snowing, you had to figure it out, you know, which pair of shoes you were going to ride, like wear into the snow, and which pair you'd have at workplace, and what if you exercise? That was another pair. Here, I'm like, where I need a pair of shoes because I have to go to a meeting. Where is my one pair of dress shoes? And so materialism, too. Not that I still don't like nice things, but I certainly don't need as many of them as I did when I lived in the city.
Well, it sounds as if the things that you talk about in your book are one thing, the effect of being close to nature, right?
Sure, nature, taking care of friends, just being a part of your community. The way that the past hurricanes hang over the islands and that people really do kind of hunker down together even when there's a tsunami warning, and I think that spills over into our everyday life. You're not, even if we don't like somebody on Kauai, we're not too mean to them because we might need water from them. In a natural emergency, I mean, if I had to say there was one underlying message to the book, it's that we kind of do our best to get along here, even with all of our human insanities. And it was a lot of other voices saying a lot of other different things in the world right now. So if Hawaii can be the reminder to just get along a little more, I'm all okay with that.
You came to Kauai after Hurricane Iniki, right?
Yes, yes.
But, I mean, obviously you felt its after effects because
it's still really culturally here. I mean, everybody who's lived here at least 20, 25 years, they talk about it. We still have a few properties that are still damaged, the Coco Palms probably being the most famous. And it's really a reference point for the people that live here. And, areas of the island are referenced in time, pre-Iniki, post-Iniki. People talk about the changes that happened on the island. They talk about what happened with development. They talk about who chose to stay, who chose to leave.
Got people, I think, one thing that you hit on, Jason, is it got people helping each other. And
exactly.
I thank you very much for taking the time this morning.
Hey, thanks. Have a great day.
You bet. Jason Blake is the author of 10 Things I Learned Living on an Island, published by Lake Press. And you can learn more about him and his work on our Hawaii Conversation Facebook page.